Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
He reaches to everybody. Secondly, he isn't too far to the right. He isn't too far to the left.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Do you recognize that accent? As the race for the GOP nomination continues along, attention shifts from the Midwest to the Northeast, and that New England accent you just heard belongs to Ray Burton, a Mitt Romney supporter from Plymouth, New Hampshire. And his assessment of Romney is quite remarkable. After campaigning in Iowa and doing everything they could to appeal to strong Christian conservative voters in that state, the GOP has descended on a state where voters like Ray Burton are attracted by candidates who, as you heard, aren't too far to the right and aren't too far to the left. And that's where we pick up our series on the search for the independent voter with Anna Sale, political reporter for It's a Free Country. Anna was just in the Granite State, which is not just the home for a key early primary, but also has a reputation, right, Anna, for being fiercely independent. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Yes, independent indeed.
And we're going to have our listeners participate, right, Anna, at noon today. In about 2 hours, Anna and the rest of the It's a Free Country political team will take part in a live chat about independence, and they can join in to today's question, what does it mean to be independent in today's political system? So everyone, mark it on your calendar at noon today. It's a freecountry.org. And let's talk about New Hampshire's reputation for being full of independence. Is that deserved, or is that one of our easy media shortcuts?
Well, of course, all of New Hampshire, because they're the first in the nation primary, every voter I talk to takes real pride in that, you know, I'm a discerning voter. You've got to earn my vote because it matters here. So there is that sort of an independent spirit, live free or die, all over the state. But then when you talk about actual voter registration, there are tons of independent voters in New Hampshire. More than 40% of the registered voters in New Hampshire are unaffiliated, so not in the Democratic or Republican Party. And that's key because they can actually vote in the New Hampshire primary, even as independent voters. So there's just one contested primary this year in 2012, but that huge swath of independent voters, they have the option of voting in that primary.
Well, we're coming off of all of the Iowa news. Can you characterize the difference between Iowa and New Hampshire and how candidates are shifting their pitch, if you will, accordingly?
Well, of course, this week the whole Republican field has changed up with Tim Pawlenty dropping out of the race and Rick Perry entering the race. And so this week, Mitt Romney was in New Hampshire. Rick Perry was in New Hampshire. John Huntsman was in New Hampshire at the very beginning of the week. Ron Paul. So everyone is heading there. At an event I covered with Mitt Romney on Monday, you heard at the top, that was a supporter kind of laying out the case for him, saying Mitt Romney can win independent voters, meaning he can beat Obama. So that was the case he was trying to make. And as Romney laid out his plan, he certainly seemed to be making a play for the middle. Listen to how he talked about tax cuts for the wealthy.
But I want to make sure of this, that we're not going to cut taxes for the, if you will, the wealthiest 1%. We as Republicans are oftentimes criticized as, oh, you're for tax cuts for the rich. I'm not for tax cuts for the rich. I the rich can take care of themselves. I want to get America working again. And so I want to make sure that whatever we do in the tax code, we're not giving a windfall to the very wealthy. I want to make sure that we get America working again, but that we do it in a way that's fair to all Americans and brings taxes down for all of us and gets this economy going.
So I want to be clear here. He's not saying he's for restoring or getting rid of the Bush-era tax cuts. He's saying he just doesn't want to cut taxes for the wealthy even more. And at another point in this talk, he was talking about how the wealthy and small businesses are job creators. But just look at how he's saying the rich can take care of themselves. The rich don't need a windfall. So this is just looking at semantics. He's clearly kind of trying to distinguish himself from the far right of the party.
But Mitt Romney got into a little bit of trouble last week, arguing or at least stating in Iowa that corporations are people. Is that the sort of talk about not giving tax breaks to the wealthy? It's kind of an overcorrection for that statement that he made. And is there something particularly New Hampshire in the new tact?
Well, what he said, I'm not sure it was an overcorrection. He didn't mention the corporations or
no,
people
I'm
at
sure he
all.
Didn't.
He just skipped right over that. And so at one point he was saying, you know, on the one hand, I'm not for more tax cuts for the wealthy. But then a day later when he was talking to voters in New Hampshire, he said, I'm in sync with the Tea Party. So he's casting a wide net, which is what you've got to do in New Hampshire, because you're not just playing to diverse Republican voters, a really diverse field of independent voters.
Well, how about new candidate Rick Perry? He got into this late. He didn't have to deal with Iowa, so there's, I guess, the benefit to getting in late. But how about in New Hampshire? Is he a good fit there?
Well, he certainly stands out. You know, it's a totally different accent. I covered him yesterday morning at an event called Politics and Eggs, which was where not just Republicans, but Democrats and political power brokers of all parties kind of get together as candidates come through. So Rick Perry made his pitch, gave a talk, answered questions from the crowd. And while he certainly had his Texas swagger, it was a little bit more subdued than when he was calling Ben Bernanke treasonous earlier in the week in Iowa. He didn't go that far, but he did take some strong stands. This is what he had to say about whether climate change was man-made.
I do not buy into that a group of scientists who have, in some cases, found to be manipulating this information, and the cost to the country and to the world of implementing these anti-carbon programs is in the billions, if not trillions, of dollars at the end of the day. And I don't think, from my perspective, that I want America to be engaged in spending that much money on still a scientific theory that has not been proven and, from my perspective, is more and more being put into question.
Well, he toned it down a little bit, although the content is classic Rick Perry.
Certainly, and it distinguishes him from Mitt Romney, who has acknowledged that climate change is man-made. And he gave that answer, Rick Perry did, from a question who said, how can you disagree with the overwhelming consensus of the scientific community? And Rick Perry went on to say, well, I believe it's been politicized, and then gave that answer.
But so far, Rick Perry's most famous quote is about wanting to try Ben Bernanke for treason, saying that the Fed prints, if the Fed prints more money, he would treat Bernanke the way they do down in Texas, and things are going to get ugly, his word. Anyone in New Hampshire reacting to what he said there or how he phrased it? Again, talking about his tone and his style and how it might play there in New Hampshire.
Well, he got a very straightforward question about the Federal Reserve from this crowd. And Rick Perry just joked, well, I've got to watch what I say because I've gotten in trouble about this already. And then went on to say that he just supports more transparency within the Fed.
All right, which I think leads us, obviously, and next to Michelle Bachmann. Iowa was tailor-made for her in a way. Lots of Christian conservatives, a big Tea Party presence. But how about in New Hampshire? How's she going to do there?
Well, we should really say this is Mitt Romney's game to lose. He's got a summer home in New Hampshire. He's campaigned there and won campaign before. People feel like they know him. So Michelle Bachmann, I talked to a number of voters, and folks are still sort of actually like learning her name. They're like, who's that woman? You know, that woman that's really, you know, kind of strong and anti-Washington. So they're paying attention, but she's not really, you know, not connected on a wide level. But when I talk to campaign consultants, what they say is Michelle Bachmann could really connect here because New Hampshire has this anti-establishment sort of instinct. If you look at John McCain, why he was so successful in 2000 and less so in 2008, it was because of that I stand up, I take on the party. And if Michelle Bachmann emphasizes that and her economic message, as opposed to her more, you know, conservative social issues positions, that could connect in New Hampshire.
All right. Let's take a turn away then from each of the candidates and talk a little bit more about the voters themselves and, again, those famous New Hampshire independents and how they'll be courted. Let's take a listen to Glenda Smith. You spoke with her, talking about how much attention she receives.
And honestly, I had gotten rid of my landline because I would get home every day and there would be 5,000 messages on my answering machine from every political party there is. And I just had enough. This is ridiculous.
All right, that's a lot of phone calls. 5,000 messages on her answering machine from every political party, not just both, every political party. But I guess they really matter, right, Anna?
Well, it's funny. I talked to another voter. I said, oh, you're such a coveted voter here in New Hampshire. He's like, are we coveted or are we harassed?
He just felt like it was just a great New York word.
Every 4 years. Because these independent voters, again, can vote in the Democratic or Republican primary, so 40% of the electorate, they can chime in here in the Republican primary. And what's interesting is historically what candidates' approach have been to these independent voters is they don't have separate messages for these voters in New Hampshire as opposed to the Republican voters. Generally, they use direct mail, they use phone calls, and they just incorporate the independent voters into their overall organizing. So that's why these folks get tons of mail and tons of phone calls.
And I guess and this is something we talked about last week. There are lots of different kinds of independents. I mean, are you saying that there are a crop of voters in New Hampshire that can switch back and forth between the two parties entirely, even in a single election cycle?
Well, technically, independent voters can. They can vote in Democratic primary 1 year and then vote in the Republican primary the next.
But I guess I'm asking, would they?
Would they? That's a good question. And that's something that folks are watching this year, because generally the thought is there's about a third of independent voters in New Hampshire who lean Republican, a third who lean Democratic, and a third who are sort of toss up and can go either way. But there are increasing numbers of unaffiliated voters in New Hampshire. So no one quite knows how they're going to go, or how motivated this group of independent voters are going to be to get out into the polls. And it's confusing. It's hard to pin down the politics of these voters. I talked to a guy named Chip Parkett. He's a retired police officer. And this is first what he told me when I asked him about President Obama.
I don't like the Obamacare plan. Okay, I think that's terrible. We need a change. I mean, we're getting carved here.
So that's Chip Parkett saying we're getting carved here under the Obama administration. What's the word? I think it's carved.
Okay.
But that was the way he was pronounced it, New Hampshire accent. I'm translating there. But then he talked about Mitt Romney, talked about Michelle Bachmann, maybe voting for them. And I said, oh, who'd you vote for in the 2008 primary? And this is what he said.
In 2008? Oh, you're going to laugh. I voted for Hillary Clinton.
So here's a guy who voted for Hillary Clinton in 2008, and now he's looking at Michelle Bachmann. So if you're a campaign consultant, you know, these are voters who are difficult to pin down. And then you've got the voters who, you know, opposition voters who maybe are Obama supporters. They're registered independents, but they want to make sure that he has sort of a slightly weaker candidate to run against in the general election. So you've got folks who say, I don't like Mitt Romney. I don't think he's authentic, but I'm going to vote for one of the other candidates. So Obama has a weaker opponent in the general election. I talked to some people who are actually that strategic with their independent vote in the primary.
Oh, it's fascinating, not just from the point of view of the Republicans, but looking down the road from the point of view of the Obama people. In the wake of the Iowa caucus, there was lots of talk about how much is riding on, you know, a single state with a large Christian conservative population, and that a few thousand votes there essentially could thrust Michelle Bachmann into front-runner status and caused a candidate like Tim Pawlenty, to drop out. Now, do people in New Hampshire feel as if they're better equipped to help sort out the field because it's truly an independent state?
Well, certainly a lot of people in New Hampshire make the distinction between the Iowa caucus, which is a caucus. People have to show up and stand in line, versus a primary where it's just one person and their ballot. And then you've got these independent voters who can go either way. And the independent voters have been key in kind of laying out the field in New Hampshire. If you look back to the 2000 primary, what I think is really interesting, if you'll remember, it was Al Gore and Bill Bradley on the Democratic side. And then it was John McCain and George W. Bush on the Republican side. And the independent voters actually had a huge role in weakening Bill Bradley's challenge to Al Gore, because they went to the Republican side and voted for voted for John McCain over George W. Bush. I talked to a guy named Mike Dennehy, who was a campaign strategist for John McCain. Here's what he talked about watching that swing.
Those independents flipped in a matter of 2 to 3 days. And all our polling, we were tracking ahead of George W. Bush by 6 to 9 points. In a matter of 2 to 3 days, independents flocked to John McCain. It was truly a sight to see.
So again, that was in 2000 when John McCain had a huge margin over George W. Bush, most of which was made up by independent voters. But if you look back to 1996, which was the last time when there was only the Republican primary, so only one contested primary and it was Republican, Pat Buchanan won that primary over Bob Dole. And so if you think independent voters had a huge role in that, they didn't go for the more centrist candidate. They went for Pat Buchanan. So their thinking is that maybe there is a little bit of that anti-establishment effect happening there, that they went for him instead of Bob Dole, and they were part of his edge. He won by very narrowly, but he won over Bob Dole.
Really a fascinating challenge for political consultants in that state. And again, I mentioned we're going to give people a chance to get together and chat with you and the Free Country Politics team at noon today. And this is a text-based chat, so all you need is a computer and a passion for politics. And we want to get people's thought on just what it means to be an independent voter in this day and age at itsafreecountry.org. Anna, after visiting New Hampshire, are you any closer to being able to answer that question?
Well, an independent voter is somebody who says, I'm not in the Republican or Democratic Party, but it means nothing about what their politics are. You've got a lot of anger. Folks have anger about the economy, and if they blame Obama, then they're going one direction. If they're blaming gridlock in Washington and House Republicans, then they're going another direction. So these voters are very difficult to pin down, but they're out there and their numbers are huge.
All right. Anna Sale, itsafreecountry.org. Anna is the political reporter there. She's been searching all month for the independent voter. And don't forget the live chat at noon at itsafreecountry.org. Anyone with a political streak, we please, please welcome you to participate. And Anna, thank you very much for joining me here.
Thanks, Jamie.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, a look at who's on the deficit super committee. Speaking of independents, we'll ask whether there's enough diversity in the group of congressmen deciding how to tackle the nation's budget problems.